You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Moke Hamilton joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Moke, Big Papa, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're great. Masters, final round today. So many storylines, probably none bigger than, of course, Deki trying to win not only his first green jacket, but make Japan proud. That's for sure. But let's start with you. Let's start with what's going on with the Nets. Assuming you watched that game last night, and we know Harden's still on the shelf for another few days. I don't know, reevaluate in the next few days. Hopefully he gets back soon. But boy, to lose that badly to a Lakers team that did not have LeBron, did not have AD, Kuzma was out, Gasol was out. What happened there?
Well, I mean, that's a nice thing about the NBA in these days. When you watch, every so often, and Schroeder got ejected, right? That's the thing. When you watch the NBA enough, you kind of get to realize that all these guys can play, right? Like, all these guys are pros, and any team can beat another on any given night. And we see this from time to time in the NBA, where there's a team coming in that, maybe their star player is out or their two top players are out. And what it does is it kind of galvanizes those role players on the team that are actually going to get an opportunity to get some extended minutes, because like a guy like Marquise Morris or a guy like Kevin Horton Tucker or, Alex Caruso, a guy like Alphonso McKinney, those guys, when you look down the roster, they're guys that feel like they can play and they can contribute, but a lot of the time they're buried on the bench because they're playing behind guys like Kyle Kuzma and guys like LeBron. So when they get an opportunity to go out there and play, then sometimes you'll see them dig deep and pull out some of these sort of signature victories. And I think that's what last night will go down as for the Lakers, mainly because they ended the Nets' long home winning streak. And I mean, look, at this point, everybody realizes how talented the Nets are, and most people believe that the Eastern Conference Championship is going to go through Brooklyn. Most people are picking the Nets to actually win the championship. So, it's just one of those nights if you're Brooklyn and you want to kind of turn the page and just keep moving forward.
Moke, a conversation I had with Ty a little bit earlier on in the show was, at what point in time do you want to see the big three get back in action to gel, vibe, get into a groove prior to the postseason starting? The postseason, May 22nd, we know that they've only played 7 games together. They've gone 5-2. What's a comfortable timeline for you? Ty says he'd like to see them, at least a month before. I say 2 weeks. What's a comfortable time frame for you?
Well, I think I would go a little on the higher end for each of you. Under normal circumstances, I would say 20 games. Under normal circumstances, I would say 20 games. But I don't really think it's that bad, mainly because they may not have all played together at the same time that much, but they have each played with one another. You know what I mean? So, like, Kyrie has some experience with each of these two guys. James has some experience with each of these two guys. So it's not like you're showing up for the first day of school and there are three guys that have never played together before, right? They do have some sample size with one another. But then the other thing that I think is really important is that Kevin Durant can pretty much, I feel like Kevin Durant can pretty much play with and play off of anybody, mainly because he can do anything on the basketball court. He can create his own shot. He can catch and shoot. He's a very, very efficient shooter. So it's almost like whether you put this guy with Joel Embiid or LeBron James or Luka Doncic or James Harden, he'll always find a way to be effective. And as we've seen with our own eyes, his efficiency still seems to be off the charts. So I wouldn't, if I'm Steve Nash, I don't want to go into the postseason not having had those guys together at all. But with these guys in particular, like I said, I would normally like 20 games. But with these guys in particular, I think I would be a bit close to that 2 week mark that you mentioned. If I can have them for 8 games or 10 games, I would feel pretty comfortable with that. And then let's also remember that the Nets, in all likelihood, are going to enter the postseason as the number one or number two seed. And that means that they'll probably have an easier draw in the first round. The Bulls are a team that could get in there at number 8. That might be a bit of a challenge. Ditto for the Celtics, right? But if I'm Brooklyn, I'm not necessarily shivering at the prospect of playing any of those teams in the first round. So the first round, they still will have a bit of an opportunity to do a little bit of a dress rehearsal. No disrespect to those bottom teams, but in the long run, I think they're going to be okay. I wouldn't be too concerned about chemistry if I'm Brooklyn.
You know, another thing Ty and I were talking about earlier on the show is imagine, the Nets get the number one seed and they get over the 76ers and the Knicks compete. Obviously, you know, you've got those bottom four teams are going to be competing for, the seventh and eighth spot. But let's say the Knicks are the eighth and the Nets are the first and that's the first round. I mean, granted, you know, the Nets will dominate, but what a buzz that would be here in the city, right?
Oh, it would be awesome. It would be awesome. I think the only thing we'd have to hope for is that we get a better playoff series than we got the last time that those two teams met in the postseason. I don't remember the year, but I do remember Kenyon Martin made headlines for his Fugazi, or Tim Thomas made his headlines for the Fugazi comments on Kenyon Martin. Ty probably remembers that. That might have been like 04 or something like that. And, I mean, the Nets swept the Knicks. It was over quick. It was not competitive. And, I mean, if we do get that, I do think it would be a treat. I do think it would be a great buzz. And at that point, I would really just kind of hope that the Knicks are able to win a couple games and make it competitive, you know. I will also say, Anita, I do think that the best possible outcome for the Knicks would be to finish the season at number 9 or number 10, but still manage to get in by winning the playoffs, the play-in games. And the reason why is because if you finish at number 9 or number 10, you still have a lottery pick. Your pick goes into the lottery. You know what I mean? So if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm kind of looking at that, and I'm hoping that that's the outcome that we eventually get. It's the best of both worlds, really.
Great point to make. Again, Mo Hamilton, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we let you go, let's talk about the Knicks. They take on the Raptors later on tonight. You'll be able to listen to that game as well as the pregame show right here on 98.7 ESPN. Coming off a really great, great win against Memphis. Hurt my bottom line. I had money on Memphis. Memphis, I think, -1.5. And I thought, like, 6 minutes in, I was like, oh, I won this. But sure enough, they go into overtime and really put on a really, really great performance. You look and have the ability to pick up where they left off coming in. Now the Raptors missing a lot of players, Van Fleet, Siakam, Lowry, all these guys are going to be out. This is a great opportunity for the Knicks to win and go and get back up to 500.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, you know, you figure they've been sleeping in their own bed for the past couple of nights. So that is definitely going to give them an advantage as well. I mean, the Raptors are arguably the most disappointing team in the NBA this season. You know, you look at where they are compared to what the expectations were. And, you know, the only thing the Knicks have to be careful about is that, you know, as we speak right now, the Raptors are sitting in the 11th seed. So they're just outside of play-in territory. So, I mean, a win over the Knicks, it would kind of do double duty for them, right? Like, it gets them a win, which helps them out. But it also gets them a win over a team that they're directly competing against for one of those four play-in spots. So, you know, I would expect that the Raptors come into the game focused and ready to play. But, again, without some of their star players and some of their biggest talents, you would hope that the Knicks would take that matchup rather seriously. You would hope that they recognize that losing it would hurt their ability to at least earn the play-in opportunity. And, you know, one thing I'll say about Tom Thibodeau, Anita, is that I don't think that we've seen his team have issues with being ready to play or with understanding the moment. You know, like the Knicks have obviously lost some tough games this season. They've lost a lot of close games, which most young teams will before they learn how to win. But we haven't seen that many effort. We haven't seen that many performances where the effort just wasn't there. So, I would expect them to come out with a little bit of a pep in their step against Toronto, especially after that big win over Memphis.
By the way, the Knicks are favored by 2.5 tonight. You get that at -112. I really like that considering, again, the Raptors are back-to-back. They're coming in from Cleveland, who they played last night. So and missing a lot of those, the talented players, obviously, which is a big key to their lineup. the roster.
I might have to move over the jersey. I might have to move the jersey back and start getting some of that action.
I was trying to look. I was trying to see, you know, what, if some of the prop bets are out there, and nothing. Unfortunately, nothing is posted yet for that game. So I'm going to keep an eye on that to see if anything pops up before noon. I highly doubt it again, because tip off is at 8:00. Moke, thank you. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure having you on, my friend. I hope everything is wonderful with you and your beautiful family. Again, congratulations on the birth of your new daughter. And we so appreciate your time each and every Sunday morning here on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you.
No problem. Take care.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.